This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. The holiday season is just about upon us with Thanksgiving ahead next week. In addition to celebrating holidays, spending time with family, sharing gifts and food, and hopefully having a little bit of time off, the holidays also bring some opportunities for increased stress and conflict. Is your calendar full to bursting with holiday events and tasks? Do you forget to take time for yourself to relax or exercise? Perhaps, like many of us, you eat a little too much or indulge in a few too many glasses of wine. Or maybe you're worried about money and gifts. We'd like to hear from you today. What makes the holidays stressful for you? You can call 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. Or you can call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Today, we'll explore ways to mitigate some of the stress the holiday season brings with it. And joining us to discuss some holiday stress management strategies today, Rebecca Wood. She is an instructor of laughter yoga, and we'll hear more about exactly what that is in just a moment. Also, Kate Latimer. She is a counselor and a personal trainer. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to start with you, Kate. What is it about the holiday season that is so stressful for so many people?
Well, you know, it really is sort of the perfect storm, a combination of family, lots of events and commitments. There's, of course, a lot of pressure to consume and buy and get gifts for everyone. And so I think a combination of perhaps our expectations as well as our need for things to go a certain way, and also not to minimize the effect of winter season as well, because as the days are shorter and it gets darker sooner, a lot of people can feel that stressful.
So what exactly is going on in our bodies physiologically, both with the winter season experience and also with the kind of increased expectations and stresses of holiday commitments and expectations?
Well, certainly there's a lot going on the physiological level when we're talking about stress. There's hormones and things that get released in the body that make us crave sweet, fatty foods, that make us want to burrow into our cave in the wintertime. And let's face it, we are mammals. But essentially, I think it's different for everyone. I mean, it could be some people love the winter season and are totally happy at this time of year. And some people just want to hide under the covers and not come out until spring.
I sometimes feel like that. Well, we sent our news intern, Andy Lyman, out yesterday to talk to people about what creates stress for them during the holidays. Let's hear a few. We have just kind of a smash up of a few of his interviews.
My name is Megan, and I'm from Albuquerque. What I find most stressful about the holidays is that just getting the money together to buy everybody gifts and also the family thing, at a certain extent, just being with so many people can be kind of stressful.
My name is Noel Dawson, and I'm from Los Angeles, California. My most stressful part of the holidays is holiday shopping.
Cecilia, and I'm from Alaska. What I find stressful about the holidays is getting the money together to purchase gifts.
I'm Eric from Albuquerque. Probably just dealing with, like, family issues, because, like, everybody's together, and it's, like, maybe, like, old stuff that's it comes up.
My name is Josie, and I'm originally from Texas, but I lived here for quite a few years. What I like most about the holidays is getting together with family. I like to cook for my family and just having family time.
Okay. What's the biggest stress of the holidays?
Cooking.
Cooking.
Yeah.
What I thought is so interesting about these clips that Andy Lyman got, our news intern, is that the things that we often love about the holidays, getting together with family or cooking or, you know, giving gifts to each other, are also paradoxically often the source of this increased stress. Kate, how does this work exactly? You talked about increased expectations and then also increased stress. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it's really... I love the clips because these two things keep coming up, money and social interaction, family interaction. Those are probably, ask anyone any time of year, and those are going to be in the top five at least of stressful things. Most often, though, you know, stress, Stress can be positive and negative. Things like weddings, things like a new job, things like having a new baby. These are things we celebrate, and yet they come with a whole slew of demands, responsibilities, and like you said, expectations. So I think when we start talking about stress, part of what we could do to mitigate the stress is to really ask ourselves, what are our expectations of ourselves? Do we have to buy gifts for everybody in our family? Some families only buy gifts for the children in the family if they're under, you know, financial stress or pressure. Sometimes, you know, someone could make a choice to just do like used gifts, things they find at garage sales, rummage sales, thrift stores, to save on money. And it doesn't have to be this setup of I have to spend this much to show that I love you.
Yeah. What stresses you out the most about the holiday season? We'd like to hear from you this morning. The number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866 or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Let's go to Ruth in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ruth. You're on the air.
Good morning. It stresses me out not being with my family and friends because I come from Puerto Rico. But you know what? We have alternatives. We can take some time if we have time off during the holidays, and we could go and go to activities like salsa dances that we're going to have in town, and people could just log in to enjoy or the clubs or the hotels, and there are going to be a lot of activities for everyone to enjoy, family member people older than 21 and under 21. There are different alternatives to share together. If you don't have family or friends here, that's a good gathering place where people can get together and just have fun and release a little bit of the stress and the loneliness that they have during the holidays.
Ruth, let me ask you this question. Do you think in your experience being from Puerto Rico, is there a difference in the way that you experience stress in the holidays from the way that your mainland friends experience here in New Mexico?
Yes, definitely. First of all, because of the weather, we can't be outside and partying outside and singing and caroling like we usually do. And yes, the holidays there are more family, mostly family oriented, not necessarily, you know, buying gifts or you know, doing certain things. So eating and being with the family is the main thing, and going to church. But what we're doing, the Hispanics here in Albuquerque, we are getting together in different venues and different activities and doing what we do. So we invite everybody to go. On the 18th, now, Friday, tomorrow, we're starting the holidays at Club Rio, and then next week at the Lodge in Santa Fe, and then the 26th of November, we're going to be at the Andalus Hotel. Just many, many activities that are get-together for all the Hispanics and all the Latinos, and we try to get together to eat together and dance and just have fun.
And I assume I'd be welcome, too, if I wanted to come dance some salsa, right?
Of course. sure.
Great.
If anybody wants some information, they could go to Facebook of Enjoy, and they'll find a list of all the activities.
Great, Ruth. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your call this morning. Let's go to Judy in Albuquerque. Good morning, Judy. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was an ESL teacher, and many of my students were Mexican. And I asked them one year, what do you do to avoid holiday stress? And there were two answers that I've always treasured and thought of. One was, keep up your relationships year-round, so that when the holiday comes around, it doesn't put special stress on your relationships. And the other one was, ask people, do you want me to really tell you how I like the present, or do you want me to just, you know, be really grateful whether I like it or not ahead of time?
Do you want the truth?
Yeah. Do you want the truth, or do you want to know, or do you just want to hear how happy I am to get your present? So I just wanted to pass that on. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks a lot for your call. What about Kate? What about this idea of seeing people you don't see so often, perhaps their family members at family gatherings, is that part of what creates that, what you called the perfect storm in social interactions, where we're kind of expecting to have this wonderful family convening together, and yet we maybe haven't maintained our relationships during the year?
I think certainly if there is a dynamic in the family where perhaps there's resentment that, well, you never call, you never come over, and then there you are at Christmas and, you know, Aunt Meredith is giving
expecting
you
everything to be fine.
That's right. And you're getting instead a guilt trip. Certainly that could be part of it. But on the other hand, many, many families are very happy not seeing each other year round. And then they can enjoy each other for the 4 or 5 days that they're together over Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah.
Let's take another call. Rob in Albuquerque. Good morning, Rob. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a massage therapist in Albuquerque, and I oftentimes see people on Thanksgiving Day or on Christmas Day. They're usually coming in to escape families after a long period of time. And I think one of the things that I see a lot is kind of a Norman Rockwell, people who talk about their families during the rest of the year as, you know, being dysfunctional. We all have some dysfunction in our families. But the holidays bring up this time of kind of a Norman Rockwell notion of families, of what they should be, an idealized family. And it's never quite that same thing because we're all human and belong with human families. But it's the idealized notion of family that we get in advertisements, that we get, you know, in so many cultural things that I think also add to stressor.
What do you do to relieve the stress that you experience, Rob? I mean, I assume you could give yourself a little bit of a shoulder rub, I guess, but...
Exactly. Well, you know, actually people do find massage to be, you know, wonderful and useful during that time period. My own situation is my family, my parents died earlier, so I don't have that much of a similar thing. I'm part of a kind of a recreated family, but it doesn't have that, same kind of thing about kind of what I'm expecting, what I'm, you know, hoping for, because this family has been, a joined family recently. So it's, you know, it's pretty wonderful.
Super. Thanks for your call, Rob. We're talking about holiday stress. What is stressful specifically about the holidays for you, and what might you choose to do to help alleviate that during the holiday season? If you'd like to join the conversation, we would love to hear from you this morning. Perhaps you have a tidbit to share about a strategy that has worked for you over the years. 277-5866 is the number to call locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Kate, I know that I sometimes, I don't really snap that I'm stressed out until I've reached kind of a volcanic level of stress. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about ways for listeners to be able to kind of pick up on the ramping up of stress level before it gets out of hand. What are some things that we should look for
as
signs of increased stress?
Yeah, and there is, the survey is up on the website, I believe, where you can go and look.
It will be. It hasn't been up yet.
Okay, well, it'll get there. I think really it does take a certain amount of awareness and a commitment, even to just stop and ask yourself, you know, am I stressed out? Why did I just yell at my kid? Or why did I just freak out in the grocery store because the line was too long?
Eat a pint of ice cream.
Yeah, or eat a pint of ice cream. Is that what you do too?
It's my personal favorite. Haagen-Dazs preferably.
Or a bottle of wine or whatever it is. So part of it could be that our actions, we start to notice our emotional levels, our ability to deal with sudden changes, things like eating and drinking more definitely could be clues. Some physical signs and symptoms could be headaches, indigestion, muscle tension, not being able to sleep or waking up in the night, insomnia type things. And Well, there's a whole constellation, and it will be different for each person. So having some kind of awareness of, well, where do you tend to go when you're under stress? Do you tend to get emotional and depressed? Do you tend to get hopeless and fatalistic? Do you tend to hit the gym hard and, you know, work yourself out until you're comatose? I mean, there's lots of different responses people have.
How do you deal with stress? How do you find stress showing up in your life and becoming more present during the holiday season? The number to call, 277-5866, locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866, or you can email us at callinshow@kunm.org. We have Kate Latimer. She is a counselor and personal trainer in the studio with us today. Rebecca Wood, instructor of Laughter Yoga, is also here, and we'll be right back with some of your calls.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
If you can't give KUNM a cash donation for our 45th birthday, but you'd like to give us something, how about that old car, truck, boat, motorcycle, scooter, farm equipment, or other vehicle that doesn't run? It may be junk to you, but it's a great gift for KUNM. In fact, vehicle donations pay almost 10% of our bills. That's worthwhile. It's easy to give. No need for a bow or a birthday card. Just a phone and this number, 888-KUNM-CAR, 888-KUNM-CAR.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking today about ways to mitigate holiday stress, ways to identify stress in our lives. And in the studio today, we're joined by Rebecca Wood. She is a laughter yoga instructor here in Albuquerque. Rebecca, can you briefly explain exactly what laughter yoga is?
Yes, I can. Laughter is the exercise. Yoga is the very deep breathing. We get oxygen into our body where sometimes we breathe shallow, hold our breath. That causes stress. So to get oxygen into our body and into our brain increases our energy and vitality, and we just feel better and we smile at people. And by doing a laughter exercise and preparing our bodies, you know, to laugh at something instead of getting under the cover, it just makes life a lot more pleasant for ourselves and for all the people around us.
So in your laughter yoga classes, is this a situation where you're telling jokes or funny stories in order to inspire laughter among your participants, or how does the laughter start?
Laughter is a very laughter yoga, it's a very unique idea and concept. It's the brainchild of Dr. Madan Kataria from India, a medical doctor. And we laugh for absolutely no reason. We don't laugh at a funny joke. You don't need comedy, sense of humor. It's inside of us. And lots of times we have just forgotten it's there, but it is always there. And you can laugh at anything. And so by doing this practice year round, being part of a laughter club, when stress hits, you know, you're just more in shape to laugh. It just is an automatic thing.
You have some videos posted on your website, and we do have a link to your WeLoveLaughter.com website at KUNM.org. You have one of the videos posted there that shows this huge group of people on a beach. I guess not huge, it's like 20 people or so on a beach just laughing. And it does have this kind of contagious quality to it. I watched it and was giggling, even though, you know, you don't know what people are actually laughing about. I'm wondering if you could lead us. We've got our call screener and our news intern in the studio with us this morning. They're not usually in the studio, but here they are. And we've also got our engineer, Roman Garcia, and Scott McNichol, who is training as an engineer. Can you lead us in a brief laughter yoga exercise?
I would love to. It is experiential, and it is contagious. So let's pretend that we're driving in a car, we're going to Target to buy gifts for our nieces and nephews and wives, and we get there and the parking lot is just full to overflowing. We have to park so far away. It's like 10 degrees and the wind is blowing. And we are not really happy about this. It doesn't matter. You can laugh whether you're in a good mood or not. Laughing increases your mood in seconds. So let's park our car like 5,000 miles away. Not really, but
it feels like it though.
Yeah. And so let's just do parking lot laughter.
Okay. How do we start? I definitely think laughter is contagious. I thought for sure we were going to sound like we were faking it.
And if you fake it, that's fine. You get the same physiological, psychological benefits whether you're
Thanks,
faking
guys.
It or not. Your body has no idea. It can't tell the difference. Endorphins increase, serotonin, happy chemistry, it just goes away. It's like adrenaline, cortisol reduces. You feel better whether you fake it or not, but it turns into genuine laughter.
I definitely felt like I was laughing genuinely. At first, I thought, let me just try to bust out a giggle. But then when you were laughing, Rebecca, and then Kate was, and then Scott started laughing. I think Ramon even giggled a little bit. He's shaking his head.
He did.
So talk a little bit more about where laughter yoga came from and how your classes come together.
Well, Dr. Kataria in India, he was reading Anatomy of an Illness, and that was written by Norman Cousins. It's quite a popular book that tells of this man that was like given a death sentence. He was very sick, and he checked himself out of the hospital and started watching funny videos and laughing, and he got well. And Dr. Kataria read about emotions and laughing, and he put this together. He couldn't wait to get to the park one morning in India. Five people, I think he asked about 100, but five people laughed and played, and laughter clubs are now... That was in 1995, and now there's over 8,000 laughter clubs in the world. It's spreading like wildfire, continues to, because it works. It really, really is a wonderful, economical, it's free. Laughter clubs are free. And with Dr. Kataria doing all this research and seeing that it reduces our stress and boosts our immune system, it improves our sleep. That's how it's going, because people are just jumping on the bandwagon here.
We're talking about ways to mitigate holiday stress. We just did a laughter yoga exercise with Rebecca Wood. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, perhaps laughter is one of the ways that you deal with stress during the holidays, please give us a call. 277-5866 is the local number here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866 or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Let's take a few calls. Maria in Bernalillo, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Just fine, thanks.
I tuned in a little bit late, so I'm not sure that this topic has already come up, but I'm fortunate enough to work in community service. And this time of year, my staff and I, we ramp up to a number of events that are to provide everything from gifts to holiday meals for less fortunate people, especially children. And it can be very stressful from the beginnings when we start in October to raising the funds. And this year, the funds are coming in slowly, and to making sure that we cover all of the kids within the community. It's a tremendous effort, and my staff and I, and there's just a couple of us, we tend to become incredibly emotionally involved in this activity, and it can be very draining. It can also create an incredible sense of gratitude. So we try to be very conscious of that, but it's a really tough time of the year when you have family obligations as well as obligations to community and such. And I just wondered if she has some, either one of the ladies had some pointers about creating a greater ability to care for ourselves and still serve community in times like this.
Thanks, Maria, for your call. Kate, what about this idea of caring for ourselves in order to be able to continue to care for our communities?
Well, I think you just hit it right there. I mean, that's absolutely a necessity. When we find ourselves being drained or overcommitted or, you know, I mean, there's such a high need. There's so much poverty in New Mexico that if you are involved in community projects, it can really fuel a certain sense of hopelessness if you can't get your funds together or
and
can't
overwhelm.
Get... Absolutely. And I think Maria said something extremely wise, and that was that she can focus on gratitude. And where we put our mental energy makes a huge difference in how the stressors are going to affect us. If we have the attitude of, oh, well, this is just one drop in the bucket and it's not going to make a difference, you know, we're going to be very disheartened. However, if we can remember that even if we make a difference in one person's life for even one moment and that happiness ripples out, not unlike the contagious laughter that we all just experienced, then it really shifts our mood and shifts our orientation towards things and we find the energy to keep going.
You know, we have an email from a listener. Steven says that holidays bring up differences of opinion between family members. He says he tries to bring up the commercialism of holidays to his family and is often met with resistance. And he says maybe he's just going to simply focus on the gathering of close friends and family. That it's maybe what you're speaking about, of just kind of focusing on what's positive in the experience, especially when you have multiple perspectives gathered together in the same room. Let's take another call, another Maria, this time from Albuquerque. Good morning, Maria. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. During the holidays, I always shop way too much and spend too much money. And then I'm not able to really enjoy the holidays because I know the bill that's going to be coming in about 30 days. So this year I'm going to, like, severely limit my shopping and shop local. And this way I can relax and enjoy time with my family.
Thanks, Maria. You know, I have at times made little gift breads, you know, made a little gift bread to give to people as opposed to buying lots of gifts. Rebecca, can you talk a little bit about laughter yoga and this kind of practice and how that relates to gift giving and gratitude?
When you practice laughter yoga, you don't have to think so much. Actually, laughter puts you intensely in the now. And you don't worry about this or that. I mean, these things happen, but when they do, like we have credit card bill laughter. We have no money laughter.
I'd like to know more about that credit card bill laughter.
It's so much fun. And when you do these things and you laugh and all this is happening, whether you know it or not is not important. It's happening. And you feel better when these things come up.
Let's take another call. Anna in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi. I wanted to mention three things. I'm not going to be buying anything for people, and I will let them know ahead of time. I think exercise kind of is my answer to everything. I'm a yoga instructor. I teach Pilates, and I also am a personal trainer, and I just went on a run. So that kind of tends to be my answer to everything, and sometimes maybe I even overdo it. So I'm going to try to incorporate exercise without overdoing it. And then also the other thing is I think that stress is a defense. So we want to focus on bringing down our defenses and be vulnerable and be comfortable with that because being around family is extremely vulnerable. And so just kind of accepting that and being with it and just, you know, be sad, be whatever. It doesn't always have to be a happy time. We recently lost somebody in my family, so that's something we're all dealing with. So it might even be a time for us, you know, that it's an easier time to be vulnerable. But I think just focusing on that and accepting that, you know, it can be a sad time too. It doesn't always have to be a happy, hooray time.
And I think your point is really great about us, especially when you've lost a family member, and the holidays, of course, when you're getting together with family, that loss becomes more present in a way because of that, you know, person-shaped hole in the family gathering from the person that you may be missing. Kate, talk a little bit about this, you know, grief and loss at the same time as celebrating holidays. How does that?
Certainly grief and loss when there's been either a recent loss or even a loss from many years ago can come up around the holidays, because that person's absence can be so dearly felt. What I liked about what Anna said is it sounds like she's really giving herself permission to be with whatever emotions are there. And that is so important. When we try to be not what we feel, it's a great setup for frustration and disingenuous relations. If you have a family, though, where sometimes people don't want to feel those feelings, it can be very hard to feel like you're alone in those. So what I've also heard over and over again from callers is this idea of recreating a family. You know, we can have friends and family that we're not related to by blood that are better for us to be around. So making a phone call to somebody who you know is going to understand you in that moment could be really, really important. And the idea of stress as a defense, I think Anna is absolutely right that sometimes it is a defense. And sometimes we need that defense. It may not be safe to be vulnerable with your family. One of the callers earlier said they always bring up this issue of consumerism. Well, another caller said, you know, ask if people want the truth. So I love the wisdom that's coming through from the callers this morning, because sometimes it's better not to talk about something if you know it's going to cause an argument. Now, that doesn't mean you don't truly believe that. It doesn't mean that you can't stand up for that issue in another way. But it's also maybe not your place to try to convince the whole family not to go to the mall. However frustrating that may be, and I share that sentiment quite a lot myself.
We're talking about ways to mitigate stress during the holiday season. Kate Latimer is a counselor and a personal trainer, and Rebecca Wood is an instructor of laughter yoga. Perhaps you have a word of advice about how you manage challenging family situations during the holidays, what you do to keep yourself moving and to stay healthy during the holidays. Especially as Kate mentioned, the winter time makes us more interested in eating sweet, fatty things. Many of us may be familiar with cookies and chocolates and things, not to mention everything else that we might have at our fingertips during the holidays. Please give a call to participate in the conversation. Share your words of wisdom this morning. The number to call is 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. That's the toll-free number. Or you can send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. A woman named Irene called and mentioned a record called The Last Record. She said it was really funny. She couldn't help but laugh when she was listening. She's not sure if it's still in production. I'm not exactly sure what that record is, if it's a humor record or a laughter record. I'm not exactly sure. But thanks for that suggestion, Irene. Let's go to Christy in Albuquerque. Good morning, Christy. You're on the air.
Good morning.
How would you like contribute to the conversation this morning?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I work in stress management, and I heard Maria working for the community, and I think it was Maria, and how stressful that was in giving back to the community and them trying to, you know, work on budget and time. And I just moved here from Denver, and I would love to offer, you know, her some pay it forward time on what we call biofeedback, which actually reads the stressors in the body and then goes back in and balances it out. And I would love to be able to get in touch with her and offer that service in the season of giving.
What is biofeedback? Can you explain what that is?
Sure. It's actually a device that you hook up to, and it's a computer program, and it works with everything has a vibration frequency. So within 5 minutes, it can actually go in, register where the stressors are in your body based on those energy frequencies, and then it takes the opposite frequency and goes back in to balance it out to bring the body back into homeostasis so you can heal yourself.
And is that, when you're talking about the energy where the stress is that like, oh, I carry my stress in my shoulders, or oh, I carry my stress in my lower back, or is that the kind of energy that you're talking about?
Absolutely. And there's a chiropractic program, there's acupuncture, there's emotional work in there. So it attaches to what the most important stressors are that you're dealing with at the time. And then you can actually go in and do more investigative work depending on you know, further issues.
Well, I'd like to invite listeners to post comments to the Colin Show page on our website. It's a way that you can get in touch with each other in the way that you're suggesting, Christy. You can post your comments on our website, and you should be able to give each other website information if you'd like to share that kind of contact information with each other. I don't mean phone numbers or personal emails, but I mean, you know, if you want to share a website or a resource or a way of getting in contact, if you're a professional, you're welcome to post to our website through the comments section on the Colin Show. We're talking about ways to manage a holiday stress, and we've got Maria on the air from Albuquerque. Good morning, Maria. Hello, Maria.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. You're on the air.
Okay, well, I just wanted to share with everybody that my sixth grade son and I did the laughter exercise with you guys, and it was great and hilarious, and he went to school with a big grin on his face. And I would definitely encourage people, even if you're driving in your car or just sitting in a desk, you know, you don't have to go somewhere specific to do this. Just do it anywhere you are.
So did you and your son have to, like, warm up a little bit? Was it a little weird at the beginning?
No, not even a little bit. We said, let's try it, and he started laughing, and I started laughing, and the baby was looking at us like, what are you doing? And it was fun.
Maria, that's awesome. It's wonderful. Sometimes people feel a little inhibited. If you just go and hear people laugh or chime in when you're ready, or just start laughing like you and your son did, it works tremendously. If you put your hands on your neck when you laugh, you can feel the vibrations. You don't need anything. It's a wonderful experience to just laugh. And I bet your son is going to go to school and smile at somebody or laugh at something that he might not have. So it, again, spreads. It's contagious. It's just one of the ways. There's so many wonderful things, but this is something that we can do anytime, anywhere.
What are the ways that you manage your stress during the holidays? What are the most stressful moments that you experience during the holidays? We'd like to hear from you this morning. 277-5866 is the local number to call here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866 or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Let's go to Mildred in Albuquerque. Good morning, Mildred. You're on the air.
Good morning. I had two comments. The first was I like the laughter yoga idea, and I would like for you to call out Rebecca's website on the air, if you would.
It's welovelaughter.com, and we also have we have the link posted on our website, kunm.org.
Oh, okay, good. And then my other comment or question was my mother recently died, and my other close family moved to California, so I don't have any family in Albuquerque now except my husband, and we don't have children. And I'm interested on Thanksgiving Day to help a social service organization that's doing something, especially on Thanksgiving Day. And I was just wondering if Maria, who called in earlier, who works with such an organization, if they need any help with anything on Thanksgiving Day.
Got it. So, Maria, if you need help with your organization, again, you can use the comment section on our website for this call-in show topic to connect with each other and share your website information with other listeners. Thanks a lot for your call this morning, Mildred. Is this something that you found, Kate, in your work with your clients, or Rebecca, in your work with laughter yoga, that this desire to help others during the holiday season kind of comes to the fore?
Certainly. I think that we are naturally social creatures, and both our own drive for social involvement and our own genuine caring for other people comes alive, especially if we're experiencing any kind of suffering. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients in the most dreadful situations, and yet they come in and they're talking about their sister who's in big trouble, or couldn't I just come in and don't you need some help at the front desk if I was working at a local agency? So there is, however, sometimes a tendency to constantly look outward and try to be of service in order to meet an emptiness inside. So we really need to be careful about what is our motivation, and are we coming from a place of my cup runneth over and I want to share, or I'm you know, feeling empty inside. Not that it's necessarily going to end up badly either way, but just to have that awareness of ourselves and make sure that we're not going to deplete our energy. But if we have more to share, then go for it.
Rebecca, how does laughter relate to social relationships?
The quality of life depends upon the quality of our relationships at home with friends, family, colleagues, and it connects you with people easily. It's like so easy once you do all these crazy laughter exercises and play with people, and you just have a richer network of caring and sharing friends around you. Whether your family, like Mildred said, is somewhere else or someone's died, a laughter yoga club on a continual basis, if you do this, these people become your family. It's amazingly obvious that the Christmas, Thanksgiving, stressful times, that people that laugh together and play together, they kind of stay together, and they can go do potlucks or go to the movie or go shopping. And Dr. Kataria says, when you laugh, you change. And when you change, the world around you changes. It's like magic. It's amazing how, like, you don't even have to know, but you just feel better, and you have other friends that feel better, and you have this network suddenly.
I know that when I am moving kind of out and about in this store, or the grocery store, or at the library, or that I often think about my interactions with the people that I come across in my daily life that I don't know, and it's interesting how much more meaningful those interactions can be than you might expect, especially when you share a joke or a bit of laughter or a comment about the weather or a comment about how beautiful someone's child is, or that you can have these moments of connection with people who are not your intimates, but that has this impact on the rest of the day. It carries through into other interactions.
It's so important. I don't think we could possibly overestimate the importance of social interaction, and a lot of the suffering that happens around the holidays has been exhibited by a lot of callers sharing is this sense of loneliness, not having family nearby. So to get involved, to go out, whether it's salsa dancing or volunteering or just getting outside to a local park or to walk your dog with other people walking their dogs, whatever it is, to feel that sense of connection, because we truly do not really flourish when we're alone. Sure, we can learn how to enjoy our own company, and that's very important. But on a certain level, as mammals, we are social creatures, and we need physical contact. We need emotional sharing and connection.
Let's take a few more calls. Rachel in Villanueva. Good morning, Rachel. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for the chance to be here. I'm surprised that my call got answered. I've never tried to do this before.
Well, we're glad to have you join us.
Yeah. You know, when you asked sort of, you know, what are the kind of stressful, you know, sort of stressful but maybe not too stressful moments that you encounter with your family, and I live on a mesa that is fully, a house on the mesa above Villanueva that's fully solar power. And so my parents live in the suburbs in Colorado, so when they come, they love to come see our little cabin, but to them it's just a cabin. It's not a real comfortable place to be. And so they stay at a bed and breakfast nearby. And my husband and I are both, me particularly, I have pretty sensitive digestion. and they eat dinner at this wonderful bed and breakfast, and the dinner is part of what they pay for, and they just love it. And every single night, they invite us for dinner.
And, is that something that
you have to pre-commit to. And when I eat there, and also my husband to some degree, the food is really, really rich, and we always get sick.
The type of food can be stressful then for your body.
Yes, yeah, and it struck me that, you know, it's like, it seems like dinner shouldn't really be such a big deal, but for, you know, I love it so much when my parents come to visit, but it's hard for them to come up and, you know, come up to my little mountain house all the time. And so I, you know, want to go down and, you know, be with them. It's sort of hard for me that I can't have them stay with me and cook for them. I would love to take care of them up in my own house, but it's not possible. And so for me to learn how to kind of navigate my needs in that situation, to be with my parents, and to allow my son to be with my parents, but also deal with the fact that when I eat food at this bed and breakfast, I get sick.
Well, so Rebecca, you have some comments.
Yes, Rachel, thank you so much for all of your wonderful comments. There is something, because you live rurally and a lot of people can't get to a laughter club or a laughter session, laughter yoga on the phone, where you can call in at certain hours at the top of the hour and laugh with people that call in all over the world.
So it's like a chat line for laughter yoga.
It is. I call it 8 in the morning mountain time to a woman that hosts a call in Chicago, and we laugh with people from all over the country for 20 minutes. We just laugh. She tells funny things, and it sets you up for a wonderful day. And also, laughter yoga is sometimes called internal jogging. It's like you move things. Energy moves, and it's really good for digestion and elimination. And so in your situation, and lots of people who feel isolated, maybe can't go somewhere, they can get on the phone and feel incredibly more connected and just feel physically better. And that, in turn, when you take care of yourself, you can take care of other people.
We'll get one of those laughter yoga phone numbers from you or some information about that and post it on our website.
Okay.
Rachel, I just want to empathize. I think you're in a situation where you're trying to balance a lot of different diverse needs, and it may not be possible for everyone's needs in this situation to be met. So, unfortunately, it sounds like you've been compromising by going to eat. Maybe your parents can compromise this year and let you make them a meal, and then they can go back to their bed and breakfast. I don't know, but certainly when you have a lot of competing needs, the stress levels can get very elevated very quickly, and it's very challenging to try to figure out whose needs have to come first.
And I also wonder, I know that many dining establishments do make accommodations for various eating requirements for the kinds of eating limitations that you may have. And it may be that contacting those dining establishments they may have some options for you if you let them know in advance that you have some restrictions that you'd like to have respected during the meal, especially if you're a paying customer.
Definitely.
I worked in the restaurant business for a long time, and many restaurants really encouraged people to communicate about their needs ahead of time and were often pretty willing to accommodate. Let's take another call. Michael in Albuquerque. Good morning, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi, Elaine. What a great program. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to endorse laughing yoga. I am a therapist in town, a body-centered psychotherapist, and it is fantastic. All my clients have enjoyed it. But more importantly, I have a tool that I use during the holidays and for any kind of temptations that I encourage my clients to use, which is to not fight it, to give yourself permission, but to know that there are better choices. And that if you want to have chocolate, I've got this chocolate party I've got to go to for a niece. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just like, you know, I take good care of myself. If I want to have a lot of chocolate that day. I'm just going to be mindful of it and go ahead and not try to make a statement against it, and then know that I'll get back on my program. But I know that if you fight it, it's like saying, don't think about the white elephant, and that's all you're going to think about all day long. Well, that's worked really well for me and my clients. Thank you.
You know, I'm thinking about your comment, Rebecca, about laughter yoga being, would you call it inner jogging? Is that what you called
it? Internal jogging.
Internal jogging. And so I wanted to touch on the issue of exercise and maintaining physical activity during the holiday season in the context of winter weather behavior, especially if you're not a fan of cold weather. It's often hard to get outside and move around. What are some strategies for including physical activity in holiday activities? Besides, I guess laughter yoga, obviously.
Yeah, when it's warm outside, it's very entertaining to go have laughter yoga in a park. But when it's cold, we get to go inside. Laughter yoga is not the same as Pilates or yoga or any of the exercises that you know, you need to have posture. It's a different, almost an emotional kind of thing. It moves you, and you can break a sweat, but it's not, I mean, there's no postures. You laugh, and I believe exercises, like physical exercise of whatever you do, the weights, the yoga, the dancing, it's incredibly wonderful. And this laughter yoga is just something that we can do. It's not everything that is required to feel really good.
You know, as a personal trainer and also just personally in my own life, I cannot speak more highly of any kind of exercise. Even if you just turn on the radio or a CD, pop a CD in and dance in your living room for 15 minutes, it also changes your mood. It changes the physiology of your body.
And what kind of physical activity do you enjoy? I find that is also important.
Absolutely.
For me. Absolutely. Like, there's some things I don't want to do.
Right.
And
right.
So I find I don't do them if that's what I schedule
yeah.
into my life.
It's very important.
Whereas I love to hike, so it's not hard to get me up in the mountains. Even on a freezing cold day.
It's so important. What they are finding now is that exercise in any form for 15 minutes or more a day, or even just 3 days a week, is more or equally effective to antidepressant and anti-anxiety medication. So if you don't like the gym, it doesn't matter. Take a dance class, walk your dog, dance with your kids in the kitchen while you're making dinner. Just get your body moving.
If you like a clean house.
Yeah, clean your house. Vacuum. I've actually injured myself vacuuming because it was too aggressive.
This has been the KUNM Call-In Show. We've been talking about ways to mitigate holiday stress. The Call-In Show will be taking the holiday off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Next Thursday at 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, we'll bring you a documentary special on where our food comes from. It's called The Promised Land, Farm to Plate Innovator, and we'll look at how farming addresses community, social, civic, and educational needs. Then from 9 a.m. to 11 on Thanksgiving Day, we'll bring you a live national call-in show called Turkey Confidential. Lynn Rosetto Casper of Public Radio's The Splendid Table will take your calls for 2 hours. Things like a turkey needs to be thawed. Past shows have included things like how to cook a turkey on the manifold of your semi-truck. That's Turkey Confidential next Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's a live special call-in show we'll bring you here on KUNM. To listen to this show or other call-in shows, you can visit our website, kunm.org. You can send comments and suggestions to callinshow@kunm.org. Engineering this morning by Roman Garcia and Scott McNichol. Call screening by Michael Hess. News intern this morning, Andy Lyman. Thanks for those clips, Andy. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to take you out with more laughter yoga. Let's go. Ha 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 ha!
Yeah.